Do you know that when God created man, he created him to work? By the way, I'll give you that. It was one of those brain things where I typed in everybody's name and I hit send, but I didn't have the message attached. So I get this call that says, where's the outline? And I said, it's on my computer, and where I am, I have no Wi-Fi, so you don't have an outline. So I'm just going to give it to you. The first one is the mandate, and the gift of Sabbath. The mandate and the gift of Sabbath. The title of this message I put is the rest. It's kind of the rest of your lives. You know that when God created man, he created you and I to work. Are you aware of that? I mean, it wasn't like work came as a punishment. Work was as a gift to us. If you want to follow along, please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verses 26 through 28 very quickly. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay? So there's ruling and subduing to be done. If you look over chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. I don't know what all was involved in ruling, subduing, tending, and keeping. But here's what I have to believe. I believe it was good. My father truly was a man that loved what he did. My dad was a produce farmer, and making things grow and trying new things was absolutely the love of his life. He would be up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning just to watch the sun come up and to watch things grow. Honestly, I don't know of anybody who loved his job as much as my father did. He loved to work that farm. I believe that when God created man, he created him to work, and that work was enjoyable. Again, I don't know what all was involved in it, in this tending, I mean, this ruling, subduing, this tending, and keeping in the Garden of Eden. If you look back just a couple of verses to chapter 1 again and look at the end of the chapter, it says that God saw that everything he made and it was very good. And so I believe that work was good and enjoyable. But then came the fruit thing. When, you know, Eve listened to the wrong voice and Adam was a little wimpy at that time and he went along with her and they sinned. And in chapter 3, verse 15 and following, you have the Lord God laying out what life would be like because of sin in the world. I'm going to skip down to verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And this is what God says. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. Painful toil. Work will not be fun for most people anymore. Work became hard, a drudgery, often frustrating. It's a necessary evil. And that's why, that's why we dream about hitting the lottery or getting a huge inheritance so we can quit this job. There are times when people would like to tell their employers, and I'm not being smart here, what to do with their job. We feel like they own us. Yet in this toil, God offers a reprieve of sorts. I want you to think about it. And it's called rest. Built into every human being and every day is a time when the body and mind begin to shut down. Mine's about 8 o'clock in the evening. That's no joke. That's the absolute truth. About 8 o'clock, I mean, I just go into blank. I stare at the TV, you know, but, and don't ask me questions. I mean, after we have business meetings and stuff that goes after 8 o'clock, and I'm just, you know, I got to fight hard to process this stuff. Thank you. And you know that it's time to rest. Rest comes in the form of sleep. Few people can go more than 16 or 18 hours a day unless there's an emergency or you're doing something where you're pumped with adrenaline. You know, sometimes we've been on mission trips before and it was just so exciting. These short-term trips, you know, where you go for a week or 2 weeks at a time and you just get up early in the morning and you go. And I mean, the adrenaline's pumping, so it's actually days when you come home. I always tell people when they come home, wait 2 or 3 days and then expect to crash. Maybe even go into a depression. You know why? Because your body's coming down off of a drug. Sometimes you find yourself crying. You say, what am I crying for? I just got home from a mission trip. And you just want to sleep. But for most of us, 16 to 18 hours a day is the maximum we can go, and then we want to kick back and close our eyes. And for most of us, it's 7 to 8 hours. I'm a guy, I mean, I need 7 hours of sleep. I can't go past 8, and I can't explain that either. I actually get a headache if I get too much sleep. Sleep is a gift of God so that you might rest so you can go back to work. But there's another gift that God has given, and it's the gift of the rhythm of life. And we call it, it's called in Scripture, the Sabbath. That rhythm is to intentionally take time regularly to rest. The Sabbath is a gift from God to man. Jesus says so in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, where he says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It wasn't like God said, I'm going to get a bunch of rules and I'm going to make you stick by them. He says, no, I did this for you. Now hang with me because you've got questions you're going to ask about the Sabbath. But the Sabbath, this rhythm of life, one day and seven to rest, was given as a gift from God. Some of you, I don't know what your work schedule is. Some of you work 5 days a week, some only 4 because you work 10-hour days. And there's some, maybe even just work 3 hours because there are people working, you know, 30, 36 hours is full-time some places now. And some of you have different rotating types of schedules. You know, my son is a correctional officer, and so he works 7 and 5 and 2 and off, and I don't know how all that thing goes. But I'm just saying, he works these different schedules. Some of you work 40 hours, some 36, some part-time, some others work 50, 60, 70, 80-hour weeks. Some of you find things to do at home even when you're supposed to be off because you're kind of a workaholic-type person. Maybe it's just your makeup. You're type A, hyper-personality or whatever, and it's just what you do. And you feel guilty when you're doing nothing. Maybe you get a little bit antsy, maybe a little nutsy. I don't know. And people are looking at each other. I understand. You know, there are people like that. I'm not one of them, but there are people like that. Let me tell you the meaning and purpose of Sabbath. The basic meaning of Sabbath is that of ceasing, resting, or to be inactive. It comes from the writings of Moses, and we only can assume that it was passed down verbally, that there probably were oral traditions passed down from Adam to the time of Moses. And then the Holy Spirit of God used Moses to write it down. And I want to show you two places in the Old Testament, in Moses' writing, and it's a saying that we used to have when we were kids. It's the same thing, only different. Okay, Exodus chapter 20. Look at that. It's the Ten Commandments. Turn there with me. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. You got it? Exodus 20, it's not going to be up there. There's no sense of me looking either. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember, this is the fourth commandment. And by the way, here's a little trivia. How many commandments are given in the positive and not the negative? Come on. Two, the fourth and fifth. Everything, all the others say, thou shalt not. These two say, hey, this is something you do. Honor your father and mother and remember the Sabbath. You see that? Notice with me. Let's read it real quick. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, set apart. This is a special day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your strangers within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. So first of all, remember, we're going to take one day out of seven, and we're going to set this day apart. And we're going to remember that this is what God did. Because what God did was he created the world in 6 days. I mean, each day he did a different thing. On the seventh day, he sat back. And he looked at what he'd done. And he went, yeah, that was all right. Now, God hasn't stopped working. Jesus said in the New Testament, my Father works and I work, I do his work, you know. So the Father hasn't stopped working, but on the seventh day, he kicked back. And he said, this is God's rhythm for you. I want you to take this day, set it apart, and remember, this is what God did. Now, let's look at the same thing, only different. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, while you're turning there, is Moses is giving the law a second time. That's actually what Deuteronomy means. It's a second giving of the law because everybody who got it the first time is dead except Joshua and Caleb and Moses who is giving it here. Everybody else has died that came out of Egypt who was over 20 or 21 years of age, okay? They all died in the 40. It's 40 years have gone by. So Moses is giving it a second time under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, only he says the same thing differently. Notice what he says. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're right so far. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your... This is verses 12 through 15, by the way. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave. This is the difference. The same thing, only different. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day holy. He said, now, wait a minute. Here's the thing. See, I want you to remember. You know where you guys were before Moses came along, before I had Moses bring you guys out? You were slaves. And here's the deal. Slaves don't get a day off. They work continuously. And there's a taskmaster with the whip to make sure that you do. If you slow down, you get the whip. If you don't produce, you get the whip. And you work continually. Life was just get up, go to work, drop over sleep. Get up. Go to work. Day after day after day. And God says, I want you to take one day and seven now and remember this. You're not a slave. I set you free. So you need to take one day and look back at what God did and then take the same day and look back at our relationship and how you're not a slave anymore. Take a day. Every seventh day is a day to rest and make sure that everyone rests. Your employees and your animals. Because most of the work was done not with John Deere, but with ox and donkeys and things of that nature. And again, these are only, there are only two commandments. Now, God is literally saying, in the rhythm of life, I want you to take one day out of every seven and stop it. Stop. I don't want you to work. I want you to rest. Take a break. Chill for a day. In fact, several times a year, God said, you need more than a day. And so God instituted the holy days, which are called Sabbaths, in which would some would last a week or more. You had Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, tabernacles, trumpets, Yom Kippur, and even when the Jews added the Feast of Purim and Hanukkah, God seemed to honor that. Our Lord observed these. These were periods in which they were set apart, and people didn't work. Now, they did other things. They worshiped and stuff, but they didn't work. You took time off, and you rested, and you worshiped. God is serious about this gift that he gave to man. And it's just take too long to explain all the nuances, but I'd like you to read one more passage in the Old Testament before we go. Well, a couple more, actually, but you're still in Exodus. Go back to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. And all I can tell you is God is serious about you getting the rest that you need. I want to say it that way. Did you hear what I just said? God is serious about you getting the rest that you need. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I have set you apart, and this is the day which we focus on that. Okay? You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. This seventh day, these feast days, are to be set apart as special for you. Everyone who profanes it, this is God serious. If you treat this thing like a worthless any other day, if you treat it like who needs it, God says, that person shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days. But the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. See, and I don't want you to miss this. God's not saying, I want to burden you guys down, so you got another rule to keep. You got to sit still and not do anything because you might break a rule, and then you're going to die. He said, no, man, I want you to rest and be refreshed. But if you treat this day like it's just any other day, and you're going out doing your work because it might rain Thursday, so I got to get the hay in and yada yada, you know, God says, you're missing it. We are in a relationship. You know what I went through to get you guys out of there? I want you to take a day. You need it. Look back at what I did. I want you to rest, and I want you to be refreshed. So God's serious about the Sabbath day. The purpose of the Sabbath goes beyond the need to rest. Let me just give you a couple things very quickly. Did I give you the next main point, the meaning and purpose of Sabbath? That's what we're on, by the way, if I didn't. The meaning and purpose of Sabbath. Here's a couple things. Rest and refreshment. Remember 3 weeks ago, the words in red that we did was Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 saying, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And skipping to the end, and you shall find rest for your souls. I want you guys to rest. Come to me. Rest and refreshment. Though work will always be hard and we will be frustrated and tired, God wants us to experience rest and refreshment in our bodies, souls, and spirits. And that's why he had them gather their Sabbath food on the day before Sabbath. You know, when the manna came, God said, I don't want you going out there on the Sabbath day and gathering. I'm going to make it have twice as much manna on the day before Sabbath. So when you gather it, gather enough for the next day. But I don't want you working that day. I want you to rest and be refreshed. Again, it was a chance to look back at creation, appreciate what God had done, and anticipate the future, just like God. Number two is to worship and honor. I'm just going to read this to you. I want you to look this up when you go home. Isaiah chapter 58, but the last two verses of Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14 says this. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So God said, listen, the Sabbath day is this. It's a day to worship and to honor. Here's the deal. It's to honor God. What would Jesus do, you know, on the Sabbath day? Hey, listen, would you do that? See, because sometimes we say, this day is for me. I want to chill. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go to the golf course. I'm going to... Now, we're going to get to that in a minute, so don't you mean at me. I'm just saying, we think about, I can take a day and do whatever I want. And God says, no, wait a minute, then you're missing the point again. I want you to think about our relationship. And think what will honor God. And here's what you'll find. Here's what you're going to find. If you find a way to honor God on this day, you're going to find joy. You're going to find joy. Sometimes we think that doing stuff for other people, perhaps, you know, is taking my time. But I want to tell you, most of my time, I find that after I do something like that, I feel good. I did God's thing. This is what Jesus would do. So it's a day to worship and honor God. But I got to move on. Again, we know from the example of Jesus and from his Jewish heritage that people would gather on the Sabbath day and they would pray and worship in the synagogues or the temple, and they would worship the God who delivered them from slavery, etc. Number three, it's a reminder of distinction and purpose. Remember back in Exodus 31, he says the Sabbath was a sign for the nation. It was a reminder of her distinction as a nation chosen by God to be a light to the world. They would take that day off as a visible day to honor the invisible God who redeemed them. Because nobody else is doing it. And again, I'm going to tell you in just a moment, Sunday is not the Sabbath. Somebody's going to say, Sunday's not the Sabbath. I'm not a Sabbatarian. Sunday's not the Sabbath. I'll just get that out of the way now, but I'll come back to that in just a moment. But, lost my place. That's distinction and purpose. There you go. The rest of the world's not taking the day off. I mean, when the blue laws were changed, and I'm just saying, when the blue laws were changed, Sunday is just another day. Businesses are open on Sunday. I mean, there's more people this morning at the Walmart and the Lowe's than there are in churches. There's more people at the auction up the road up here than are all the churches in Emmitsburg combined. And so people are looking at this day. So we've lost that distinction, but the Sabbath was meant to be a day of distinction. Why are you resting? Why aren't you working your fields? It's a Sabbath. It's a day to worship. God intended to show the world his blessings on the people who took a day to worship. These are the people in covenant with the one true God and whose lives are blessed as they take the time to honor him. But see, there's a lot of people who think you can't make a profit if you don't work Sundays. His name Truett Cathy or Kathy Truett, you know? Proved everybody to be wrong. Chick-fil-A, come on. They're closed on Sundays, and yet they do very well. Tropical Treat, just north of Hanover, closed on Sundays. They do well. There was a guy named Arthur DeMoss. His daughter, Nancy Lee DeMoss, is a very popular women's speaker. Artemas made millions of dollars in the insurance industry. By his own personal testimony, and I've printed this out and given it to some of you, I know, by his own personal testimony, he worked 7 days a week, 12, 15 hours a day, and found himself going tens of thousands of dollars in debt. He committed his life to Jesus. Now, let me just tell you what this is his testimony, not mine. So here's what he did. He had a system of first. The first dollar in every 10 goes to God. It's automatic. The first hour of every day he spends in Bible study and prayer, it's to God every day. And the first day of each week is for God. He stopped working on Sundays. And he said it was almost effortless how his thing turned around from being deeply in debt to becoming a multimillionaire. I'm not telling you how to get rich. That's not the point. My point is, Artemas' testimony is that when he began to honor God with these things, God honored his life. Just like Truett Cathy and these other businesses. It's a day to set apart, and the world's going to say, why don't you? It's because it's a day set apart to God. I'll come back to that. It's also a reminder of hope. Implied in this day of rest is a reminder that there is an eternal rest that is waiting all of God's children. The fourth chapter of Hebrews speaks of a rest that's yet to come for God's people. Sadly, some are going to miss it because they harden their hearts. Psalm 95 talks about that, and Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. It reminds us, you know, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, verse 13, it says this, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow him." And by the way, let me just go back a point. When you take one day out of seven and you rest, what you're saying to your family and to others is this, I trust God to take care of me. If I honor God, God is going to honor me. You follow me? Okay. The next point is the misuse and abuse of Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12. Man being what he is, has found a way of misusing and abusing the Sabbath as he has with most of God's gifts. And we managed to turn this day of rest and refreshment into a rigorous religious thing that missed the whole point of Sabbath. Rules and regulations about Sabbath keeping were written, not by God, but by man. So rabbis came up with a list of what you could do and what you couldn't do so you wouldn't break the law, the rules on the Sabbath. Do you know, I looked this up on the internet, and you know that there are still 39 categories of things that you cannot do, restrictions for the Sabbath. Plowing earth, sowing, reaping, binding sheaves, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, I guess that's baking bread, baking, shearing wool, washing wool, beating wool, dyeing wool, spinning, weaving, making two loops, weaving two threads, separating two threads, tying, untying, sewing stitches, tearing, trapping, slaughtering, flaying, tanning, scraping hide, marking hide, cutting hide to shape, writing two or more letters. Now, I'm not talking about letters to your grandmother or something. I'm talking about A, B, C. If you make two or more, that's work you can't do on the Sabbath day. Building, demolishing, extinguishing a fire, kindling a fire, putting the finishing touch on an object, transporting an object between private and public domains, or over 4 cubits, if you're in a public domain, is forbidden. Almost anything that would be creative is forbidden. And I think Alan will testify to this, that in many Jewish homes today, they won't even turn a light switch off and on, or the television. Some have automatic timers, or didn't you say that sometimes they pay people to do it? Gentiles? Yeah. So they don't break the Sabbath. Yeah, but some people do it. It's forbidden to turn the light switch off and on the Sabbath day or to turn your TV off and on. Keeping the Sabbath became hard work. These Pharisees and scribes act as Sabbath police, looking to catch Sabbath breakers. A tailor was forbidden to carry a needle on the Sabbath day because he might find a tear and want to mend it. A woman was forbidden to look into a mirror on the Sabbath day. Huh? It might break. I thought it was about putting makeup on, but she might see a gray hair and be tempted to pull it out. That would be work. I'm not making this stuff up. It's really true. You couldn't take a bath on the Sabbath because you might spill water on the floor, and that would be, if you wiped it up, it would be the same as washing the floor. Josephus, the famous first century historian, Jewish historian, tells us that one of the reasons, if you're familiar with 70 AD, Jesus talks about it in here when Rome would come in and level Jerusalem. One of the reasons that Pompey and the guys were able to whoop the Jews so easily was because they refused to defend themselves on the Sabbath day. The misuse and abuse. So let's look at the Messiah and the Sabbath. In our text in Matthew chapter 12, and again, unlike many sermons, we're not going to go through this verse by verse, word by word, rather. You can get the gist of them by reading it yourself. But the problem began when Jesus and his guys got up to go to synagogue or the temple on the Sabbath day, probably the synagogue. They get up to go to synagogue, and just like me this morning, it wasn't time for breakfast, so they decided to eat breakfast on the go to the synagogue. So what they did, they were going through some grain fields, and I used to do this when I rabbit hunted or if I deer hunt in the fall near a soybean field, and the soybeans are brown. I'd just go by and I'd rub, you know, take the hulls and crack them open. I'd eat the soybeans. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done that or not. They're not too bad, you know, in the fall of the year. And I'd eat just a handful of stuff at a time. It was okay. Now, the book of Deuteronomy says you can do this. Deuteronomy 23, verses 24 and 25 says this. When you come to your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. And when you come to your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. In other words, it was cultural hospitality thing. And God said this is okay to do. In fact, God wanted people to do this type of thing. But you couldn't take a bag with you and, you know, to put stuff in for later. So you couldn't just pick bunches of grapes and take them with you. But if you were hungry as you walked through, you could pick an apple or some grapes and stuff to eat. Or you could take the grain and, you know, and eat the kernels of wheat and stuff in your hand as you go. The only problem was, this is the Sabbath, and the Sabbath police are out, and they interpret this as harvesting. You're working. Now, you got to remember, again, God allowed this. They're on their way to the Sabbath. There's no McDonald's or Pizza Huts. So they're getting breakfast on the go. This wasn't the first Sabbath day dispute that Jesus was in, nor would it be his last. There was a man with dropsy, that is edema, or the buildup or inflammation and swelling of the limbs from fluid, that he encounters in Luke chapter 14. He's actually at a dinner party at a Pharisee's house when this guy is there. In the chapter before that, he's at another Pharisee's house named Simon, and this woman comes in who obviously, chapter 13, wrong story. There's a woman who has a bent spine and she couldn't straighten up. Maybe she had a hunchback growth. Here's a lady who probably couldn't hold her grandchildren. She looked like a question mark when she walked. She's all bent over. 18 years she had been like this. In John chapter 5, there was a man who had been lame for 38 years, probably from a stupid decision he made when he was young, because Jesus said, now that you're better, don't do that anymore. Just telling you, that's what it says. In Matthew chapter 12, there's a guy, right here where we're at, is a guy who has a withered hand. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but over in Tawnytown, there was a guy at our church named Jack Price. Jack was about my age, maybe he was a year or two older than I am, but when he was 2 years old, got his arm caught in a wringer washer's wringer. Some of you guys remember Jack. And I forget what I think it's his left arm. His left arm is probably only as long as what my elbow is right here and just hangs lifeless at his side. I'm just picturing the same thing with this guy that comes to Jesus. He's got this hand or this arm that just hangs. It's withered. It's on the Sabbath day. And here's the interesting thing. Look at what the text says. they don't question his ability. I mean, it's kind of like saying, we know you can. The question is, will you? And will you do it on the day? Because again, Sabbath law. Sabbath law says you can save a life on the Sabbath day, but if a life is not in danger, you don't. You with me? This guy wasn't going to die. He could wait till tomorrow. None of these guys were going to die. They could wait till the next day. But Jesus intentionally did it on this day. The purpose, I believe, was to try to change the abuse of God. And Jesus was a man of courage. By the way, you got to love that about Jesus. He was a man. He wasn't a wimp. So he asked him a question. Who wouldn't get their sheep out of a pit on a Sabbath day? And isn't a man more important than a sheep? And since a man is more important than a sheep, it's obviously okay to do good and to heal on the Sabbath. In other places, I mean, here he talks about the priest, you know, every time they offer a sacrifice, they're profaning the Sabbath. They're working on the Sabbath day, and yet they're doing it as their job. In John chapter 7, he says the same thing. The priests, they circumcise babies on the Sabbath day. I mean, come on, that's work. As God in the flesh, he's demonstrated that God desires and approves of the Sabbath which is given to man. The Sabbath is a great day to do good, to bring healing and blessing and help to people. It's a day to worship and pray and eat and enjoy time with friends and enjoy this day as a gift from God. Now let me just do this kind of quickly because I want to get to the end part here and give you what can we do. The misconceptions about Sunday and the Sabbath. Many people, especially the last 500 or 600 years, have replaced the Sabbath with Sunday and say that the same rules still apply. Why Sunday? Why Sunday morning? Come on. It's the time when Jesus rose again from the dead. The tomb was discovered empty. Our hope was cemented for us, if you will, because Jesus is alive. Our sins have been paid for. It all took place on a Sunday morning. And so Christians began to gather, in addition to the Sabbath, on Sunday morning to remember and to worship. And since the church became largely Gentile and not under the old covenant, the change seemed easy. Some still choose to worship on Saturday, like right down the road down here is a Seventh-day Adventist church. There are Seventh-day Baptist churches, by the way. You might remember, I'm going back about 30, maybe 35 years ago, Chariots of Fire. Anybody remember? It's a story of Eric Little, who became a missionary. In fact, he died, I think, on the mission field in China, if I'm not mistaken. And you remember the story of Eric Little? You know, he in the movie, he fusses some boys for playing soccer or kicking a soccer ball on the Sabbath day. And he was a Scottish runner, I think maybe a sprinter or, you know, a short-distance runner. And his heat, he went to the Olympics, by the way. He went to the Olympics, and his heat for his race was on Sunday. And he refused to run. I think if I remember correctly, they orchestrated some things so that he could run in a relay race or something, but he couldn't run in the races that he had trained for because they ran on a Sunday. And in Eric Little's mind, that was the Sabbath, and he wasn't going to do his own thing on the Sabbath. That's his conviction. I'm not saying he's right or wrong, okay? But that's the same conviction that a lot of people have. For 3.5 centuries in America, the governments of our country and states set Sunday apart as a day of rest, and most businesses were not open. You know, most states in the United States, you couldn't hunt. And that's, you know, special to me. You couldn't hunt on Sunday. And then the blue laws were repealed. My daddy used to tell me that people wouldn't hang their wash out on Sunday. Everybody had a burning barrel back then because you didn't have trash people that picked up your trash. But you didn't burn trash on a Sunday. They're saying about if you sewed a stitch on Sunday, you'd have to take it out on Monday or something like that. You know, you just did. There were certain things. People honored Sunday as it was the Sabbath. Then the blue laws were repealed. Businesses were opened, and Jobs other than police, fire, and medical began to work on Sundays. Ball games began to start earlier. Sports complexes were opened on Sunday mornings for kids to play ball. States are now, there's only two or three states left that don't do Sunday hunting anymore. And Sundays for most people now are a time to sleep in, shop, golf, go to the beach, cut grass, work, or just catch up. And whether it has anything to do with Christianity or not, the fact of the matter is across the United States of America, 70% nationwide don't go to church anymore. Any kind. Not just fundamental, any kind. Now, it is true that even though we still choose to worship on Sunday, I want to tell you again, it's not the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is nowhere repeated in the New Testament as being part of the new covenant. The other nine are. So, again, I'm not a Sabbatarian. I'm not saying that Sunday is the Sabbath. But I give you all that information. So if you slept through that, if that was boring, I want you to wake up now, because here's what I want to share with you. The Bible tells us, Paul wrote down in Romans chapter 15, that whatever God wrote in Old Testament was written for our learning, our benefit. Okay? That's long about Romans 15, 3 or 4, somewhere in there. So whatever was written was for our learning and benefit. It's included in there for a purpose. And the purpose is that even though we're, most of us, except now, anybody else besides Jewish in here? Okay, so most of us are Gentile by origin, but that really means a heathen, and I'm not a heathen anymore. But, you know, we're not under that sign distinction with God as the old covenant. But there are some good things to learn from the principle of Sabbath. And remember I told you when we began, I got one finger pointing out and three pointing back. I understand this. My wife's going to say, you need to do this. But let me give some things to you, okay? Here we go. The message of the Sabbath for the church. Ephesians 5:1 tells us to be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. God demonstrated a rhythm of life that would be beneficial to us. Work hard, listen to me, even play hard for 6 days. And I don't know what day would be yours. For many people, it is Sunday. It's not for everybody anymore. There are some who are not here today because they have to work on Sunday. They might be off next Sunday. But the principle is this. Get your day planner, your calendar, and pencil in a personal Sabbath. If your job requires you to work on Sunday, take another day not to catch up on the lawn or the house. And again, I'm not putting rules on this. I'm just encouraging you, okay? As a personal day. Because here's the thing, ladies and guys both. That grass is going to be growing when you're under it. Ladies, that house is going to be collecting dust when you're dead and gone. You don't have to clean your room. There's always going to be chores that need to be done. It always will be. I don't know that we ever look back and say, everything's done, what am I going to do? There's always something to do. So take a day out of every seven, listen to me carefully, as a date day with God. It's a date day with God. Might be Monday. I don't know. But take a day. Number two, because the Sabbath was never intended to be a burden. Again, I'm not saying, man, let's make a bunch of rules about this thing. No, I'm just saying take a day as a gift to spend with God. So number two is worship. Worship. Make at least part of that day. Make at least part of the day a date day with God. As preachers, man, we're all the time telling people you need to have daily devotions. You need to have a quiet time every day. But let's be honest. Let's be real. For a lot of people, it just isn't going to happen. Because if you've got small children or grandchildren or things of that nature, you wake up and the kids are there. I mean, it's hard to have that time. Not saying impossible, but I'm saying for a lot of people it's hard. So take this day and spend some time with God. Take time to talk to him. Take time to listen to him. Take the time to pour your heart out to him, whatever's on. Maybe put on some Christian music. And I don't care what style it is. Whatever style you like that helps your mind to settle down. I'm not talking about the kind, and again, if that's what you like to do, but I'm not talking about the kind that, you know, got that beat, man, your mind's going and stuff. I'm talking about the kind that helps you come down. Worship. Just an idea, just a thought. Take the time to worship. Maybe in addition to your Bible, have a good book close by. Curl up with a cup of coffee. Number three, bless somebody else. Bless somebody. Take this day and say, on this day, how can we bless somebody? How can we bless somebody else? Use your Sabbath. That's what Jesus did. To speak words of encouragement to someone. Visit someone in a hospital, nursing home. Take someone to dinner. Have friends over for a meal. Use your personal Sabbath, not just to do your own thing, but it's how can we bless somebody today? If you read Isaiah 58 and Matthew chapter 25, you'll get more of an idea. Write those two texts down and read them. Maybe have some fun with your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. Play a little bit. Be intentional. You're going to find there's joy in doing what Jesus would do. Number four is this. Don't become a Pharisee. That is, don't make up rules and then imprison yourself or others with those rules. It's okay to get a gallon of milk on your personal Sabbath. It's okay to get gas or to go to a restaurant on your personal Sabbath. But I also might add, don't become so liberal that you lose the lessons of the Sabbath, and don't impose your Sabbath distinctive on others. Listen to me carefully. You're listening, say amen. Okay, because I'm almost done, so bear with me just one more minute. I know Alan didn't like it, but there was a time when I thoroughly enjoyed cutting wood. I loved it. Now, there came a time when I also said, this is enough, but I enjoyed cutting wood. And I didn't have one of those, you know, hydraulic wood splitters. It was me and a splitting maul, and I loved it. So here's the deal. If splitting wood refreshes you, it's okay. If working in your garden refreshes you, see, it doesn't me because I pulled so much sweet corn and picked so many tomatoes, I don't want a garden. I want you to have gardens and give them. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, it doesn't refresh me. But for there's some people, their mind clears. There was a saying I remember reading a long time ago that when the mind is tired, work the body. When the body is tired, work the mind. So sometimes, if those things, listen, I'm not taking away from your time with God, but I'm saying, if you find rest and refreshment, even in some of those things, it's okay. Because God didn't give you this rhythm to burden you, but to bless you. Let your Sabbath be a day of distinction. Use the Sabbath, number five, as a day that others around you can see that there's something different about you in this day. And maybe they want to know why it is you aren't stressed when you could be making more money, doing more things, and you can tell them, because I trust God. Today is my day to honor God, and that's what I'm going to do as I rest. Number six, plan extended Sabbaths for you and your family. I know we have Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, and we have these times when we get together, but sometimes there's so much work. You can call this a vacation or whatever you want to call it, but you need to take extended times. And families who don't do it, and you say, I can't afford to get up and go somewhere, you don't have to. Play at home, I don't care. But you need to take time off, listen to me carefully, with your family. And it's not about catching up on work that hasn't been done. It's about reminding ourselves of the God who created us, reminding ourselves and our family that we're not slaves anymore. And it's a time to rest and be refreshed with those that we love. Our Lord Jesus, in Mark chapter 6, verses 31 through 32, said to his disciples when they came back from a short-term mission trip, he said, come apart by yourselves to a desert place for a while and rest. Psalm 95, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and the passage we looked at a couple of 3 weeks ago, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, are wonderful reminders of Scripture that God really wants you to rest. And He wants to give you rest. Maybe, as we close, that's where some of you need to begin. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So class, here it is. I don't know, is it 10th Avenue North that has a song out, I'm Worn? Become one of my favorite songs. I'm tired, I'm worn. You need to take time. Take it with God. If you're frazzled, worn out, weary, you need to come to Jesus, believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus, and let Him teach you how to respond to life. If you will trust Him, not only will you find forgiveness and peace, but you'll find the rest that your soul desperately needs. There it is, the lessons of the Sabbath. Would you bow your heads with me? And while I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning, before I pray, and this is not to lay a guilt trip on anybody, so please, that's not what this is about. Are you taking the time to rest? Do you plan for that day each week? Do you plan for it? Man, I'm just going to use Sunday, but whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever your day is, God, this is my day. I'm going to curl up with a book. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna put some music on. I'm going to rest. I'm gonna think about who I can bless on that day. I need to spend some time with my family. I need to play with my kids and my grandkids. I need to take a walk with them and tell them how God has blessed my life. We haven't had a vacation for a while, so I'm going to plan. I don't know what maybe we'll just stay home. Maybe we'll just take day trips. Maybe we'll, you know, just picnic in the backyard. I don't know. But we're going to take a week off just to be together and not feel guilty. God wants you to rest. Would you commit to God right now? Just say to Him, God, my Father, I'm going to plan one day each week. It's going to be our date day. It's going to be my day with my family. I'm not going to mow the grass. Well, you can do what you want. I'm just saying. It's not about catching up on stuff. It's about not looking back over my life and wishing I'd spent more time with my kids. And just before I close, I hope that you're talking to God where you are. Just before I close, have you found rest in Jesus? Have you found the forgiveness, peace that can only come when you receive His forgiveness and His finished work on Calvary's cross? If not, would you just place your trust in Christ right now? Just tell Him, God, I'm tired of struggling. I'm going to surrender my life to You. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. I surrender to Your Lordship. I'm going to start following you. Father, I realize that this can be, you know, the most boring, or it could be the most needed message that we've given here. But I pray, Father, that in this age in which the rat race seems to be the norm, that all of us would learn how to rest and find our refreshment in you. Bless these folks, Father, as they commit their themselves to you. Refresh their spirits. And then, Father, use us to bless our families and other people. For we love you, our Father. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.